There's spiritual law right there. Mm-hmm. You have what you say. What you said yesterday is what you have today. What you say today is what you're going to have tomorrow. Now, while I'm saying that, and we use that a little bit loosely there, what you say continually is what you receive. And as you continually saying what you have, you'll get more of the same. But if you say what you want, Abraham did that. He called those things that be not as though they were. Abraham is known as the father of our faith. Abraham, the father of faith. What is the father of faith? He's the one. Remember what happened with Abraham? Abraham's the one that had a child at how old? He was about 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. It's an impossible thing in the natural. It wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to be. But God said it was. We just made a confession that the Word of God is final authority. When you make the Word of God final authority in your life, when God tells you something, that's the way it's going to be as long as you stand on it and you believe it. Amen? And so Abraham became the father of many nations. He called those things that be not. He didn't have a child, but he called it into being. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We already seen in verse 2 in the Greek that it says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. We can have the very faith that God has. The Bible says he's dealt to every man among you the measure of the God kind of faith. Mm-hmm. We have a measure of his faith. Hallelujah. And we can use his faith. Praise God. And here's something else God was sharing about that. And that's what. And the Bible also says that forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. One of the reasons why we come together in faith is to encourage, to assemble together, is to encourage one another. But there's another thing that happens when we come together. He's dealt every one among us the measure of faith. And when we come together, guess what we do? Donna brings her measure. Dottie brings her measure. Darcy brings her measure. Patrick brings measure. I bring mine. And Stephanie brings hers. And guess what? We begin to put it together. And we come together. We encourage one another. And the Bible says, if two are gathered together in my name, two or three together, there I am in the midst to carry out our agreement. And so we come together and we bind ourselves together in such a way that we can accomplish what God says to accomplish. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's free. I wasn't really planning on going that way, but that's free. Amen? Glory to God. Now, this kind of faith says with the mouth what it believes in the heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10 out of the Passion Translation, and I'll be looking at a lot of different translations today, says, and what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. Mm-hmm. Publicly believe and confess with your mouth. You will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of righteousness, of the righteousness of God. And then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scriptures encourage us with these words. Everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. Do you notice that's all inclusive? He said everyone who believes will never be disappointed. Well, what pastor you say, but I've had some disappointments. Yeah. Join the club. We've all had disappointments. We've all come up on the short end at one time or another, haven't we? But you see, we have to make a decision. Are we going to stay there, or are we going to go with the Word of God? And if we follow the Word of God and stand on the Word of God, he says you'll never be disappointed. Amen? Sometimes it takes a little bit of standing. You stand there, but watch God. He will move on your behalf. Praise the Lord. Everyone who believes in Him will never be disappointed. That statement in Mark 11:23, which says He will have whatsoever He says, tells us just how important words are. They are the most important thing we have. Words. The truth of the matter is, what you say continually is what you believe. Listen to yourself. Think about it. What are you saying? That's truly what you believe. A strong foundation is a must have if your faith is to stand. So we've got to have a strong foundation in faith. It goes without saying, a building with a weak foundation will not stand. It will crumble and come down. Buildings have foundations, and they go deep down into the ground. They're looking for bedrock, and they're going to establish themselves on a big building, going to be established on a big foundation. But I want you to notice something about that building. It's the foundation. We don't walk up to a building and look at a building and say, how beautiful is the foundation, do we? You know why? Because we don't see the foundation. It's the part that's supporting, the part that we see, that we're all admiring and amazed at. But is it a very important part of the building? Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. And the other thing about a foundation that we need to see is that it's all underground. It is underground. How does that apply to our faith? What you say is what you believe. And you know, when we come together, it's easy to say what the Word of God says and to speak the Word of God. But the real rubber meets the road when you're alone. What are you saying then? Yeah, it may be tough. It may be that you're in a hard place. But I have to tell you something. The Bible says the Word of God never changes. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is final authority. It is fact. No, actually it's not fact. It is truth. The facts are what you see around you. And sometimes we don't like the facts. Sometimes the fact is that things aren't happening the way we want them to happen. They don't happen on our timetable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had to stand for something and believe for something and it looks like it's impossible and it'll never happen in the natural? And you stand there wondering, oh Lord, when are you going to come through? What's going to happen? Mind starts to play with you. Watch what comes out your mouth. The devil loves to play with your mind. But you speak the word, and you'll run the devil off. Hallelujah. Let's keep looking here just a little further. You must always check the foundation because you cannot see all the forces working against it. I know what we're talking about there in a foundation for a house. Because when we bought our house, we had an inspection done. One of the things the inspection turned up was that the basement walls were just a little bit bowed. And you can get concerned because there's a lot of pressure coming against that foundation. A lot of weight. We determined everything was okay because it was only a half inch. Boom, not very much. They don't get concerned about it until it gets to be a 1 inch. And then they'll take steps and they'll put steel girders down and keep that from bowing. But I'm saying, it points up to those that where we stand with our faith and our foundation, where we are. Because we're standing on the Word of God, and all of a sudden things start to work. and pressure starts to come in. Anybody ever felt that pressure from the enemy? And it's working down against the foundation. What you believe, but you can't see, but listen, what you say with your mouth determines how strong that foundation is going to be. You can keep that thing from blowing at all by the words of your mouth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you find a crack in the foundation, you must give it immediate attention. If you don't, it will take more effort to keep it strong. And so, when we're concerned about our foundation, our spiritual foundation, and the enemy has come along, and listen, he may have tripped us up. He may have got our head so turned around, sideways, whatever, that it looks like there's no way out. And he may have even caused us to say some things out of our mouth that we didn't really want to say. It doesn't matter. I like that because what the Bible says over there in 1 John 1:9, it says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we make a mistake, we confess it. If we say something that we didn't want to say, if we say the wrong thing, we confess it. He says He'll forgive us. And do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, He'll make it like just like it never happened. Amen? Praise the Lord. The foundation of your faith is the Word of God. I know sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the things of life and everything else going around about, but we need to make sure that our foundation is on the Word. The Word of God must be final authority in your life. If you have faith, if your faith is to stand against the enemy, the Word of God is the only thing that will stand up to the enemy. The more times you put in the Word, the more time you put in the Word of God, God will guarantee you a victory. The more time you put into the Word of God, the more effort you put into the Word of God, God will guarantee you. I'm standing here as one. I'm guaranteeing. I'll put the guarantee out there because it's the Word of God. It's final authority. Then the more time you put into this Word, every problem you face, everything you have, that you come up against, and then listen, don't think that because I'm a pastor, I don't have problems. Don't think I don't come up against things. I do every day. But I got to stay here. Because if I let this go, I'm already in trouble. No. Pastors aren't superhuman people. We're human just like everybody else. And we have to follow the same rules as everybody else. We face difficulty every day. We face impossible situations every day. The enemy comes against our mind every day. But we got to use the Word of God and drive him back out. Hallelujah. In fact, Mark 11:22-23, I said it's a guarantee. In the God's Word translation, it says it this way. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. I can guarantee this truth. There's that word guarantee. And one translation put it in there. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt it, but believes what he says will happen. He can say to this mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will be done for him. Have faith in God, I can guarantee this truth. There's a guarantee there in the Word of God. Maintaining a strong foundation is a must. Mark 11:23 in the Amplified says this. 22 and 23 in the Amplified says it this way. Jesus replied, have faith in God, and then in brackets in the Amplified it says, constantly. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with the word of God. Two things there. Have faith in God constantly. See, when we commit to a life of faith, when we commit to faith in Jesus, it's a constant thing. It's not something we try today and gone tomorrow and it didn't work. What are we going to do tomorrow if faith doesn't work today? No, faith in God is a constant thing. And did you notice it also said there that faith in God, what are you putting faith in? And shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says will take place. It's, what are we putting our faith in? God's unlimited power. God has more ways to get your need to you than you can think of. His power is unlimited. But with our minds, we limit God. But according to the time we spend in the Word of God, we can assure ourselves and guarantee ourselves of His assurance. We must constantly be feeding our faith on the Word. It was Smith Wigglesworth who said, most Christians feed their spirit one cold snack a week. What I mean by that, they come to church once a week. And we come to church with the attitude, well, I've done my duty. I've come, I've showed up, I've shook hands with everybody. Look at me, I showed up, I'm a Christian. I'm in church. One cold snack, but they don't listen. And they don't apply it the rest of the week. They feed their spirit one cold snack and their body three square meals a day. Oh, we're not going to go without eating. But all we think about is one two-hour service or however long it is on Sunday morning. I've also heard it said this way, that a day without the Word makes 1 week. And we're not talking about W-E-E-K. We're talking about W-E-A-K. A day without the Word will make you weak. Weak in your faith when the enemy comes around. But did you notice the anointed, the Amplified said, if one doubt in his heart, said, if one doubts not in his heart, in God's unlimited power. Ephesians 3:20 says it this way. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We are the ones that determine how much power is working in us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Can anybody think pretty large? I can get a whole list going. He also said, delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. I've got some pretty big desires. I can think pretty far out there. But the Bible says God's able to go even beyond that. According to the power that worketh in us. We determine the power that's working in us. We determine whether the power is going to work in us or not. And as I look into 2019, we need to be looking into the Word and making sure that power switch is turned on. Now, Mark 11:22 in the Message Bible says this. Jesus was matter of fact. And he said this. Embrace his God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. To embrace means to accept or support a belief, theory, or change, willingly and enthusiastically. In other words, we need to get enthusiastic where the Word of God is concerned. I mean, praise God, this Word's going to work. Praise God, I'm standing on it, and I'm believing for this. Now here, I want to tell you something, though. There was a missionary, George Mueller, that he had an orphanage and he was supporting many, many orphanages. Help me out there, dear.
Orphanages.
Orphanages. Okay. But when he first started out, he didn't have anything. And he made this statement. And that's why I think we start in faith where we are. We don't worry about where we've got to go. We've got to take it one step at a time. So his first step was, you know, to believe God for his first dollar. And he said it was harder to believe God for his first dollar than it was to believe God for the $1 million. Why? Because he was starting out. And he was having to stand on the word. And he stood there, and he stood there, and he stood there. But hey, once he had one victory, praise God, the second victory was easy. The third victory was easier. The fourth. And so it was just as easy, if not easier, to believe for $1 million than it was to believe for that first dollar. We've got to start where we are. Some people get excited. I heard Brother Hagin say this one time. He was preaching on, you can have what you say. And it's true. You can have what you say. It is true. But you got to believe it. And there was an old gentleman there in the service. And he said, you mean if I believe God for $1 million, I could have $1 million? He said, sure, if you believe it. And it's true. But the guy said, I don't believe it. Well, then you won't get it. Just to confess something and not believe it won't get you any place. You got to believe it. But you got to work at it. So you can start on $1 million. Man, that sounds great. But we all want all that kind of stuff. I mean, well, not necessarily $1 million. I mean, we can think pretty large and we want all that stuff. But if we've never used our faith to get to that first and take that step out there, it's almost impossible. We start where we are and we keep feeding our faith. We keep the Word of God alive with that on the inside of us. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, the faith battle is won in the mind. Mark 11:22-23 in the Easy Version says this. So Jesus said to them, you must believe in God. What I say is true. A person could say to this mountain, move and throw yourself into the sea, then it will happen, like he says. But it must not let other ideas come into his mind. Let me say that again. This is Mark 11:23 in the Easy Translation. So Jesus said, you must believe in God. What I say is true. A person could say to this mountain, move and throw yourself into the sea. Then it will happen, like he says. But he must not let other ideas come into his mind. He must really believe that those things will happen. If he does believe it, God will do those things for him. That's why the mind is where we win or lose a battle. Satan is always coming against your mind. Like, oh, look at you. You're not going to make it this time. You're not going to make it through this. It's impossible. Look, who do you think you are anyway? Well, Mr. Devil, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And I can make it through. Don't think that those pressures aren't real. I know, because I experienced it. I'll never forget the pressure I had. Just a young Christian, just in high school, in my first year of college. Something was going on in my life, and I was a Christian, filled with the Spirit, but the devil was trying hard. He didn't want me to go any farther. And so there I was, by myself, on college campus, my brother loaned me his bicycle. That was my mode of transportation that first quarter around. Actually, I did have a car, but I mean, I had a bicycle to get me around campus. I would get on that bicycle. I couldn't study. I couldn't think. I mean, the pressure was tremendous. The pressure of always thinking you were going to fail. And not make it. I know what it's like. I was there. And I'd ride my bike all over. And thank God for friends. Thank God for people who knew the Word of God. I was from a Methodist church. And some people from Muncie had come down. I was Ball State. And they'd come down. And they were Catholic. But they were born again, Spirit-filled Catholics. who knew the word. And I was in Muncie, they were in Muncie, and we'd go back down, I'd go back, we'd go back together on a midweek service for Wednesday. At least I got home for one service a week. But during the week, and all this pressure going on, I don't know what was going on, why the pressure was there exactly. I mean, it was just, other than the fact that the devil didn't want me to succeed. And the devil doesn't want any of us to succeed. And the pressure was there. And it was so hard. I couldn't study. I couldn't think. I'd go to class. And I just wasn't there. I were, but I weren't. And I'd get on the bike, and I'd ride over to the friend's house. And man, I was such a mess. And they'd help me out and encourage me a little bit. So that worked for a little bit, and I'd ride some more. And the next day, I was back in the same situation. It took a while to get out of that. Pressure from the enemy is real. But you can get through it. I know from personal experience. In fact, I'll tell you how it was. That was the second quarter when I lived up on campus. But the first quarter of college, I lived at home, and I lived 45 miles away. There was no house. I decided to go to that school at the last minute for various reasons. And they had to accept me, but they didn't have any housing, not even off-campus housing. So I was driving 45 minutes one way to get to school. I was in marching band, which during football season practiced 7 days a week. So I made this trip 7 days a week during that time. I didn't have any time to study. 45 minutes one way, 45 minutes the other way, and time I got home, it was 8, 9 o'clock at night, had to be up for the next morning to be at class the next morning at 7, 8 o'clock. My grades went like that way. You know what I mean by thumbs down? Sound. And in fact, after the first semester, I was on academic probation. That's when I got a room off campus and I was there. But then, come Easter time, I found out about ORU. And I got to go to get acquainted. And I wanted to transfer out there. I made application. But you know what I had to do? I had to bring my grades up from academic probation enough so I could transfer. And I did. I transferred. I was able to transfer out of there with about a 2.5 after being in the tank that first quarter. I mean, one point, I don't know. It was bad. It was bad. All I'm saying is pressure can mount. I felt it. But you can't stand there. You can't let the pressure get to you. So pressure is real from the enemy. It's there, and it can happen. Notice God will do those things for him. Let me back up here. God will do those things for him. He must really believe that those things will happen. If he does believe it, God will do those things for him. Now notice God will do those things. Listen, we're talking about things that are impossible to us. But there's nothing impossible with God. We have to believe. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says it this way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When God says it's not going to, when the devil says it's not going to happen, you've got to take control of that thought. You can't mull over, because what? If you meditate on that thought, you know what's going to come out your mouth? That negative thought. And you're going to even have what you say. So when those thoughts are coming, man, that's when the battle's on, and you get to put a watch on your mouth. And here's what we all had to learn. I had to learn early. Man, if I didn't know what to say, I could have burnt my lip and not say anything. Because I was trying to believe, and I was believing. And I had to make sure what was coming out my mouth was the Word of God. And in the early days, like I said, there was some tough sledding. It took effort. No one said that it wouldn't take effort to get the things you want from God. but the rewards are worth it. The efforts you put in are worth it. Proverbs 4:20 and 24 through 24 in the New King James edition. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Make sure what's coming out your mouth is the word of God. Proverbs 4:20 through 24 in the Passion Translation, it says it this way, and I like some of the things it says here. Listen carefully, my dear children, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep down on the inside. I'm telling you, praise God, when we meditate the Word of God and we stay in it day and night looking at the Word of God, we look at our situation and then I look at what the Word of God says. I look at the situation, I look at the Word of what God says, and I say over here in the Word of God and I speak what the Word of God says. I don't say what the situation is, I say what the Word says. And I keep doing it night and day, all day long, whatever, however long it takes, every day. Until it gets deep down on the inside. Because why do you want it deep down on the inside? Because then, praise God, here's what begins to happen. You've got it down on the inside of you and it begins to work. And then the enemy comes along and says, oh, but you're not going to get it this time. I told you, you can't have it. You've never done me. It never went for you before. Who cares? Out down on the inside of you, you've got it. And what comes out of your mouth? Well, if it's down and deep on the Mr. Devil, not this time. I've already got it. Ha, 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 ha. See, the Word of God said, by whose stripes I was healed, if I need healing in my body. It didn't say you're going to be. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear my sin and his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. He tells me what to live unto, under righteousness. His Word is righteous. He has made me the righteousness of God in Christ. That's how I'm going to live. And then he, in the very next verse, said, by whose stripes ye were healed. Got a question. Is were future tense? Mm-hmm. Is it present tense? Mm-hmm. No, it's not. You already were healed. Mm-hmm. And so when the devil comes, and this is a great tool to learn. When the devil comes, they get to the, whoa, you think you're going to get some? You think you're going to get that healing? You think you're going to get what you have eat up? It never worked for you before. Well, look again, Mr. Devil. I already have it. The Word of God says I have it. And if the Word of God says I have it, it's final authority. Because I've meditated on it, and I'm putting it in my mouth, and I'm putting it down on the inside of me to the point that it's going to come out my mouth no matter what. It may look like I'm going down. It may look like it's all over but the shouting. But if you'll confess the Word of God and you'll stay on the Word of God, I promise you one thing, praise God, where the enemy thought he had you, praise God, now you've got him on the run. The Bible says this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, it'll be all right. No. He said he'll flee from you. And that word flee, it means he'll run from you as in there. Because you've got it down here. You've spent the time. You've worked it. And listen, while we're putting it down here, listen, that's why we need to come together and encourage one another. And keep encouraging one another until it comes out here. And boom, boom. And when the Word comes out here, because it's been down here, boom, watch out. Things are about to happen. The Word of God's going to explode. Praise God. And your situation changes. Oh, praise God. It's changed. And it changes for the better. Glory to God. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. Working at that. And I'm going to tell you from experience, I'm still working at that. been working at it for a long, long time. And you cannot let the Word of God go one minute, one day. We all have done that. Hello, I'm talking to people out there. We've all done it. And the mind begins to want to go, because the devil comes at your mind and the pressure's there. Oh, and we live in such a fast society, instant society. We want everything and we want it now. And when it doesn't happen now, oh, what am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to trust in the Word of the Lord. You're going to take the Word of God at His Word. You're going to stand there until it does come to pass. Well, what if it doesn't happen? I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to stand there until it does come to pass. Well, but I've got need. They said, I don't care what they said. The Word said, it's coming to pass in its final authority. You got to make the Word final authority. And it may look like it. You stand on that Word no matter what it looks like. Now, let me read you that particular passage of Scripture out of the Message Bible. If you give the Word of God more time, it will give you more strength. That's so important. How much time do you give the Word of God? How much strength do you need? The more time you give to the Word, the more strength you'll have when it comes to fighting the enemy. And when you're in a battle, I'll tell you what you've got to do. You may have to just stay right there and do nothing else for a while. When you can. Keep that. And if you can't keep it right there, take just a couple of scriptures you're just standing on and put them in your heart, memorize them, and when an enemy comes in and tries to pull you this way, you take those scriptures and you stand on them, praise God, and you stand on it and you meditate on the Word, and you say those scriptures out of your mouth with the mind going around all kinds of things. It didn't say in Mark 11, when verily, verily, I say, who shall overthrow of this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. It didn't say doubt in his head. Do you know you can have doubt in your head and have faith in your heart? But in order to have faith in your heart, you've got to have faith in your heart to combat the doubt in your head. What you don't want to happen is to allow that doubt in your head to drop down into your heart to where out comes your mouth, that doubt that was in your head. No, you're standing there and you're constantly looking at it, feeding on the Word and looking at it. And if you can't do this like this, then you take the words like, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And when the devil comes in and says, well, but you can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You take that word and you stand in, and if you don't know anything, you can confess that. And there's another secret to that too, but we'll talk about that later. But you take the word and you confess the word. Now look what it says here in the Message, that same verse. This is what the Message says. No. Let me back up here. Proverbs 4:20 in the Passion. Listen carefully, my dear children, to everything I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your heart. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. The Word of God goes to the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Avoid dishonest speech and pretentious words. Be free from using perverse words, no matter what. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. Don't say them. Put the word in there and stand firm on that word. Ephesians 6:10 and through 18 in the Message says this, and we're about to close here. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and He wants you strong. Let me say that again. God is strong and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws at you. See, when you've got the Word of God, you've got the best there is. You've got God's Word on it. There is none better. You'll be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's Word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. We're still reading the Message Bible here in Ephesians. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. That's why we come together. We keep each other up so no one falls behind or drops out. Faith always works the same way no matter what level you're on. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 in the Message says this. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words. Remember we started out talking about the foundation? They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, the rivers flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. Remember what Pastor Carol read about the
Kerr glass?
In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the earthquake and all the fires. He had a wooden building. All that glass, right in the middle of it. And it all burned all around it, but it didn't touch him. Why? Because he decided he was going to trust the Word of God, and he put his foundation down. He went down deep, and he refused to say anything else. He refused to doubt. When they came to him with bad news, he didn't accept the bad news. He said, but the Word of God says, my God promised me this. If that's happened, then the Word of God is of no value. And he stood firm, and he found out that his building was the only building that survived. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rains poured down, the rivers flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. And I thought that was an interesting way to put it. If you're going to use the Word of God, if you're just going to use the Word of God in Bible study, and there's nothing wrong with studying the Bible. But you see, a lot of people have that, well, I've done my duty today. I opened my Bible, and I've read my verses. I've read my chapter in the Bible, and I've studied my Bible for the day. No, that's not the kind of Bible study we're talking about. And some people even come to Bible study and they sit there and they shout hallelujah with everybody else, like, but it really hasn't gotten down on the inside of it. You work until it gets there. It's no longer just Bible study to you. It is the Word of God. It's what you live on. It's what you live for. It's what comes out of you because it's a living Word that's deep down on the inside of you. If you work these words into your life, they are like a smart carpenter who built his house upon the solid rock. Rain poured down and the river flooded and it tore down the hill, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. Who would put a house on a sandy beach? In fact, I wonder about some people that are living on the coast and they have their houses on it, and they may be even up on stilts and so forth. I wonder about their wisdom sometimes, but that's what they want, that's what they have. When a storm rolls in and the waves come in, it collapses like a house of cards. Conclusion. Why have we been taking so long to study and look at faith's foundational truth? It's because every day we are building on the truth of the Word of God, the foundation of faith. Some have even tried to say, I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work for me. Yes, it did. They got exactly what they believed and said. Oh, I've heard some say, well, I tried that faith stuff and it doesn't work for me. Well, yes, it did. It just did. You got what you said. It didn't work. Faith is not something we play around with. Faith is not something we try. Faith is something that becomes a part of us, and faith is something that we do. It comes up out of us, and we act on the Word of God. We act on our faith. It's active. They got exactly what they believed and said. Remember, the Word said, He will have whatsoever He says. Every day, we remains a choice on how we build the edifices of our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, God's going to choose for you? No. Therefore, you choose life. See, everybody wants to leave it up to God. Well, I guess this is the way God had it for me. And this is just the way it is. And whatever it comes, it's going to be. No, God says you choose. God didn't want a puppet. God's not up in heaven just pulling the strings in our lives. And things happen the way that. No, we set the course of our lives with the words of our mouth. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore you choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. You choose by the words you use. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you can have what you say. The basis of faith. That's it right there. Believe in the heart. Say it with your mouth. He said it in Mark 11, 23. You can have what you say. That's spiritual law. And it works for everybody. Because you'll notice up what it said up here in Mark 11, 23. It said, whosoever shall say. Didn't it? Whosoever. Well, are you a whosoever? Under this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says. He'll have. He shall have. And that word in the Greek, that shall have, is so strong. It means it must. It will come to pass. If you doubt not, but believe in your heart, it shall come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you say. Foundations. I was thinking about this as I was thinking about this all week long, and then preparing and for it. Man, I was thinking about some things coming against me. And sometimes, you know, your mind wants to go tilt. I'm just telling you where I am sometimes. Oh, I'm perfect. I can get up here Sunday morning and it's about it all. Yeah. But I fight those battles all the time. And this thought comes quite often when if I hadn't become a pastor, if I was just like everybody else, life would be so much easier. No, it wouldn't. I still have the same problems. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are. Problems come because we're in a negative world. And we got an enemy out there. He's the God of this world. But you just got to tell him where to get off. And the only way to do that is to make sure that you've got a firm grip on the Word of God and it's rooted deep down on the inside of you. Where every time you open your mouth, out comes the Word of God. Every time you open your mouth, out comes the Word of God. If not, cover it up. And that's hard to learn. And you don't learn it overnight. We make mistakes, and if we let it slip, we're still fighting those battles. See, the Bible says every idle word, we're going to give account for. You know what an idle word is? It's anything and any word that goes against what the Word of God said. We're going to give account for those. But when we speak the Word of God, you know why we're not going to have to give an account for the Word that we speak, the Word of God? Because it's the Word of God. He brought it to pass in your life. I'm not going to have to give account for that. Because you know who gives account for the words of God that you speak? God does. By doing what He said in His Word, He'll do. He's a faithful God. And He'll do it.